What you got? Something you're thankful for. Yeah.
I'm thankful to run into Margaret after all this time.
Oh.
We haven't seen each other for years.
Oh, very good. Excellent.
She prayed for me yesterday when she came to visit.
Oh. Good friends. That's wonderful. Praise the Lord for that. Good. Glad to hear that. Anything else? What else do we got that we're thankful for? Margaret.
I'm thankful that God teaches me, helps me to grow spiritually.
Mm.
And I'm thankful for the love that he puts into my heart for people.
Mm. Good. Amen. What else? Aaron.
I'm so thankful that God saved me, sent Christ to die on the cross in my place. Like, we totally deserve to be there, but God shows love on us. It's amazing.
Amen. Good. Praise the Lord for that. What else?
Thankful that God will never leave us nor forsake us.
Amen to that.
No matter how sinful we are for
us. Yeah, he's always with us, isn't he? That's right. Good. It's good to start thinking along those lines this morning. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to look at one verse in verse 20, but I'm going to drop back into verse 18 to 21 to get kind of the context a little bit. And here we're talking about being controlled by the Holy Spirit, or filled, okay? The idea is to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Okay, and so we're commanded to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And Paul is answering the question here, what does that look like in somebody's life, in a Christian's life? Okay, and in part, what that looks like, of course, is being thankful. Okay, Ephesians 5, verse 18, he says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation," or that leads to reckless living. "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ." You see there again, verse 18, be filled with the Spirit, or be controlled by the Spirit, speaking to one another, singing, making melody, verse 20, giving thanks, and verse 21, being subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And then he goes on and discusses the relationships that people have, husband, wife, children, slaves, or we could think of it as employers and that. But in verse 20 is our text this morning. Thankfulness is evidence of being controlled by the Holy Spirit. And as we approach here, verse 20, each member of the Trinity is at work. The Holy Spirit, verse 18, is controlling us, is controlling the Christian, so that we always are giving thanks, verse 20, so that we're always giving thanks for all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, to God, even the Father. So you have God the Father, that we're giving thanks to God the Son, we're giving thanks to the Father in His name as we're being controlled by the Holy Spirit. So all three members of the Trinity are at work. And in our verse this morning, verse 20, we have four questions about thankfulness. When are we to be thankful? For what? Whom do we thank? And in whose name do we thank? So, we need to give thanks to God the Father for everything in keeping with Jesus' name. So first, when do we give thanks? We give thanks always. Always giving thanks. And that's what it says there, verse 20. Always giving thanks. So, is that kind of hard? Okay. When would that be hard? When would that be difficult to do? To give thanks.
Maybe in a difficult circumstance, if something's quite being comes along, or
Good. That is hard. That is very hard. Okay. Always giving thanks. But what about, you know, that most difficult time, right? Okay. Any other ideas?
Yeah. When you're struggling financially.
Mm. Okay. Struggling financially. You feel like it's a trial. It's difficult to give thanks during that time, don't you? Of course. Struggling financially. Well, you know what? Paul is in prison when he writes this. Okay. You can see that beginning of chapter 3 in verse 1, where he says, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus." He is in prison as he writes this. So the guy in prison is telling you to be thankful. I mean, it's one thing to have, say, a millionaire, you know, who is living a trouble-free life, you know, and he's the one telling you to be thankful. It's quite another, however, for someone who's going through a difficult time like this. He's in prison, and he's the one telling you to be thankful. You'd kind of give a, you know, you give a little more weight to that, wouldn't you, if he's the one telling you to be thankful? Of course we would. We'd give that weight to that. You'd want to listen to him a little bit more carefully. Well, Paul, you're in prison. How am I supposed to do that? Okay. So this thankfulness, always giving thanks. Well, what exactly, though, are we talking about? What is thankfulness exactly? You know, the world and lost people can have a kind of thankfulness. That's the holiday, right? So what are some things that just generally people can be thankful for? I mean, they could be thankful for, you know, their family. I mean, lost people that don't follow Jesus are thankful for their family, right? I mean, if they could get out a sheet of paper, you know, and they could write down something else that they're thankful for, maybe their job. They're thankful for their job. All sorts of things that they can be thankful for. So what is it then? From their standpoint, from just the general world standpoint, how would you think of thankfulness, do you think? What is it? Any ideas? Kind of hard to put your finger on, maybe. How would you exactly define that? I'm sorry?
Possessions.
Okay, having something, yeah. Okay, it really is a feeling, isn't it? It's kind of a feeling. I mean, if you talk to people, you know, oh, I am just so thankful. How would you know? Well, because of the way that I feel right now, I'm thankful for that. That's how people would think of it. So we could call it this then. Natural thankfulness is an emotion of appreciation of some kind. Appreciation for what you have. That's natural thankfulness. That's a kind of thankfulness that everybody can have. But what if they don't, what if all of a sudden now they don't have those things and those things are taken away? You ain't got that feeling anymore, do you? Right? It's taken away. Well, I'm thankful for my job. You get fired, now you don't have that feeling anymore. Right? So this is a natural thankfulness. That kind of a thankfulness can't sustain you in a difficulty or a trial. But if you are trusting Christ alone this morning for your salvation, and God has redeemed your heart and has saved your soul, you can have what we could call this morning a Christian thankfulness. Christian thankfulness is really taken from this verse, and here's how I kind of think of it, as an act of praise to God for all things that are in keeping with the Father's work and character. Okay, so it's an act of praise to God for all things that are in keeping with His work and character. So this is when a believer gives thanks for who God is and what He has accomplished in Christ. This is giving God praise not just during trials, But giving God thanks for even the trial itself? Yes. Because that is doing what? It's producing godliness in the believer. Boy, that's difficult. What did Job say? Lost his all of his stuff. Lost all of his kids. His kids were all killed. His wife says, curse God and die. But he says, the Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's hard, but he did it. That is godly thankfulness right there, even in the midst of difficulty. So natural thankfulness, on the other hand, those that, you know, the feeling that we can all have, everybody can have this, can only go so far, and it is quite self-centered, actually. I feel thankful that I have this thing. I have an emotion in my heart that appreciates the things that I have. And that's not Christian thankfulness by itself. Christian thankfulness is an activity. It's an activity of praise, right? Always giving thanks to God. It's an activity. It's an activity of praise to God for all things that are in keeping with His work and character. So I hope we can see this morning that there is nothing good that we have not received. We've received everything that's been good, we've received it, including hard times. But we should see this morning, too, that we have nothing really good to give to God except thanks. If we give to God our lives, which is what He expects, I mean, and you know, he really gets the short end of the stick on that one. But our praise and our thanks were to give to Him. And you know, I don't even do that very well, right? Yet in His own grace and for His own purposes, He receives our thanks and praise and delights in them. Delights in that activity. He wants us to do that. And this does please the Lord. Now, we're thinking of thankfulness, natural thankfulness, that feeling of emotion, of gratitude or appreciation that everyone can have, or this Christian thankfulness that only Christians can do, praising God, an act of praise to God for all things that are in keeping with His work and character. But the opposite of thankfulness now, you had the job, now you don't have the job. You had this, now you don't have this. It's very easy to complain and grumble, isn't it? We're just like the children of Israel. So often we can grumble and complain. This is just the way it was in Numbers chapter 11. The beginning of this chapter is quite convicting. If you listen to this, Numbers chapter 11, verse 1. Now the people of Israel, this is after they've left Egypt and they're in the wilderness. The people of Israel became like those who complain of adversity in the hearing of the Lord. And when the Lord heard it, His anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. So did you get that here? Listen to that again. They became like those who complain of adversity in the hearing of the Lord. So you see that complaining is always then in the hearing of the Lord. Those haunting words, they became like those who complain during times of trial and misfortune. Oh, yes, like those kinds of people, right? Wait a second, that's me sometimes, right? I can be like that. And God's anger then, how He responds that way. Complaining, no, may it never be. And they complained about the food that they had. Before my wife and I were married, I remember that I would tell the story of the Israelites and their complaining about food. I would tell the story each summer when I was a camp counselor at Bob Jones University, these summer camps. And each week, for 10 weeks, we'd have a new set of campers come in, and I would preach the same message before they would go eat supper at the dining common. They had these preteen and teenage campers. They'd eat in the dining common while at BJ for their sports camp, or they'd have a science camp or something. And I was the head counselor for a couple of summers, and like I said, I'd preach this passage, Numbers chapter 11. I would tell these kids about the Israelites and how they were remembering, these Israelites were remembering the fish, and they remembered the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic that was in Egypt. But that God had miraculously rescued them out of the land of Egypt and began to feed them miraculous manna that tasted like coriander seeds. I don't know what exactly that tastes like, but I could probably see, you know, somebody being a little disappointed about that. And God's people were growing sick of God's provision. They didn't want to eat that manna anymore. God would rain down that manna miraculously on the ground each night for them to eat it, but they would grow tired of this. So they complained about the food. You remember that God caused then a wind to blow, and that wind blew some quail, and it caused the quail to fall beside the camp. And the people spent all day and all night gathering that quail. And while the meat, it says, was still in between their teeth, the Lord's anger was kindled against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a very severe plague. And I'd tell these kids, all right, now you be thankful for your food. Let's go eat. So we're not to grumble, right? We're to be thankful, not to grumble. Always giving thanks. So we're to be giving thanks continually, always giving thanks for all things, always giving thanks. So there is never a time for which a word of thankfulness is not warranted. You could give a word of thankfulness at any time, in any situation. There's always room. Even in times of anxiety, stress, worry, if we let our request be made known unto God with thankfulness, the passage says, then the peace of God will guard our hearts, Philippians 4:6 says. And in times of peace and plenty, we ought to render to God praise for his bounty, since he has caused the rain to fall upon us, as he has the just and the unjust. And as well, in times of trial, we're to be giving thanks, always giving thanks. Now, secondly, for what do we give thanks? We're to give thanks, it says, verse 20, we're to give thanks for all things, for everything. Now, of course, I can immediately think, well, what about, right? Okay, sin is not one of those things. Oh, I'm so thankful that I sinned. Of course not, right? We're not going there. We're not going to be doing that. That's why the passage says, always giving thanks for all things that are in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, right? It's in keeping with his name. So remember, Christian thankfulness is an act of praise to God for all things that are in keeping with his work and character. And of course, sin isn't one of those things. So we can give thanks for everything that is in keeping with who he is. And trials in our life, God brings those trials. He does. And we're to be thankful during those times, because those trials, of course, are bringing godliness. So we do need to think about, you know, being thankful in times of trial. So maybe we ought to think about that a little bit. What can we be thankful for during trials? We really need to, don't we need to have that ready? Otherwise, we'll just... What can we be thankful for in trials?
For me, I am thankful for God's giving us the pandemic, because that gives us all the family to be together.
Yeah.
Because if no pandemic, Taz will be always work away from home.
Mm.
And we don't have time together.
Right? Okay.
This pandemic gives us time to be together.
Good, excellent. though it's difficult sometimes, right? You know, you do appreciate these times that you do have together. Yeah, good. What else? What can we be thankful for during a trial? I'm sorry? We have the Word of God. And what would that, what could the Word of God do for us in a time of trial, do you think?
Strengthen.
Okay, strengthen. Yes.
Remind you that you're in God's hands.
Remind you that you're in God's hands. That's right. That's right. It gives you comfort, right?
It shows us the truth, because a lot of times our feelings in a hard time can be false,
Yeah, good. The certainty of God's word and his promises to us. You know, I was thinking of, that God has those future promises, right, that are certain. And suffering, as we studied not too long ago, suffering causes us to really long for God's promises for the future to be fulfilled in us. You know, Christ coming again and all of the glories of that to come. Well, this is good. Good. Another one is for the trial itself. And that's because it does bring godliness. I'm thinking of James verses, chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. He says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. You know, it's just totally counterintuitive what we'd normally think, right? Consider it all joy, my brother, when you encounter various trials. And I answer here, because you know, and it's that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So the Lord is making you more like his Son. And so can we really be truly thankful in every situation? Or does somebody have to trick you into praying that, right? Oh, you know, I really should be thankful, I guess, you know, and really the prayer about it, you know. We can have that attitude sometimes. But no, is it really deep down in there? That's hard sometimes, isn't it? It is. But to the degree that you want to grow in Christ, to that degree you'll be thankful for the trials. To the degree that you really want to grow in Christ, to that degree, you'll be thankful for the trial. Oh, we are creatures of comfort, aren't we? We certainly are. But there's that hymn that says, let sorrow do its work. Send grief and pain. Sweet are thy messengers. Sweet their refrain, meaning the messengers, meaning grief and pain. Sweet are their messengers, sweet their refrain, when they can sing with me, more love, O Christ, to thee. So send grief and pain if it helps me to love the Lord Jesus Christ more. That's a challenging prayer. So we are to give thanks at all times. We're to give thanks for all things. And who are we to thank? We're to thank God the Father. God the Father. Verse 20, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God. We're giving thanks to God, even the Father. So God the Father. Just as Jesus taught us to pray when he did. He commands that we pray and he says, you pray our Father who is in heaven. Praying to our Heavenly Father. And you really need to think about who you're thanking. He is the eternal one. The one who controls everything. He is the one who has given you the Lord Jesus Christ to save your soul. And to give you eternal life and all these wonderful promises to come. Who is always up to something good in your life. Though your circumstance may seem so bad. And he is always good all the time, always. And he's in control all the time, always as well. And he's in control of your life too and of that little circumstance right there. So we are giving thanks to God the Father at all times for everything that is in keeping with his work and character. And finally this morning, in what name are we to thank him? In what name? You say, well, why do I need a name by which to thank the Father? Can't I just approach the Father on my own? And the answer to that would be no, you can't. And so we should ask ourselves then, do we flippantly come before the throne of God? Or do you think that you have a right in yourself to approach the Eternal One? Could you, just to bring it down on a human level here, could you waltz into the office of a member of Parliament without being allowed in? Or could you waltz into the Prime Minister's office in the same way? Just not going to happen. You need an entrance. You need to be allowed in. And if we have this reverence for sinners, who of themselves have no standing before God and are themselves vile in God's sight and worthy only of damnation, how much more do we need special permission to enter into God's presence and to talk to him? My friend, you have no right into God's presence in yourself. Not by yourself, not of your own authority. And your authority, shall you dare present your sinful self on your own? No, brothers and sisters, we need an authority. We need a name. And we need an entrance. And Jesus has joyfully provided that entrance for us. We are to thank God, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus' name that we call upon him. We call upon the Father. It's in Jesus' name that we call for salvation, Acts 2:21. It is in Jesus' name that we put our trust, John 1:12. We are justified in the name of Jesus, 1 Corinthians 6:11. And we are forgiven in Jesus' name, 1 John 2, verse 12. So the name of someone in Scripture refers to either the person himself. Okay, we think of name, we think of the letters that make up his name. That is not what the Scripture is talking about. The name of someone in Scripture refers to either the person himself, his work and character, or his reputation, his authority. And here, the idea seems to be along those lines of authority or his person. So we don't simply tack on the words in Jesus' name after every prayer as if we're adding a kind of magical formula that enhances our prayer in some way. That's not the purpose of that. The purpose is, this is the name by which, this is the person, the authority that we come to the Father through. If someone were to arrive at your doorstep and they say to you, after this long train of all these, you know, bulletproof vehicles, right? And somebody comes up to you and knocks on your door and says to you, I come to you in the name of the Prime Minister. You would know that he came to you by Mr. Trudeau's authority. Just like when Peter commanded the lame man in Acts 3:6, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. It's by his authority, by the authority of the Lord Jesus. In other words, by what authority have you done this in that story there of the lame man? It is by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, to thank God the Father in Jesus' name, then, is to come before our Heavenly Father, thanking him in the authority of Jesus, by Jesus' authority, not our own authority. I don't have an entrance by myself. I only have an entrance because of Jesus Christ. And so our prayers and our thanks to the Father must be given to him by the authority of Jesus' name. Well, what authority then does Jesus have? Matthew 28, he says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He has all the authority. So Christians filled by the Holy Spirit with the glorious redemption of Christ always give thanks to the Father for all things on the basis of Jesus' authority alone. But unbelievers, of course, can't have this thankfulness. The rebel who turns his back on God because he's still in his sin, he can't express thankfulness to God in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He cannot express Christian thankfulness the way that God has designed him to. An unbeliever can't always give thanks to the Father for all things in keeping with the person of Jesus and his authority. And this is Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 teaches this. And Paul, in that passage, he's explaining the consequences of the natural condition of man in his rebellion against God. The consequences of that rebellion. And he writes in that passage that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. But yet, God has given a common grace to all men, and that is this natural thankfulness, this natural thankfulness. I read of two psychologists, Dr. Emmons of the University of California in Davis and Dr. McCullough of the University of Miami, and they did quite a bit of research on thankfulness. Of course, we're talking about gratitude, this natural thankfulness. In one study, they asked all the participants to write a few sentences each week. They write a few sentences, focusing on particular topics. And one group were to write about things they were grateful for that occurred during the week. The second group wrote about daily irritations or things that had displeased them. And the third wrote about events that had affected them, with no emphasis on the positive or negative at all, just things that affected them. After 10 whole weeks, those who wrote about gratitude, they discovered, were more optimistic, felt better about their lives. Surprisingly, they also exercised more, had fewer visits to the physicians than those who focused on sources of aggravation. So that's even an effect of natural thankfulness. And sometimes we can even lack that, can't we? Sometimes we lack Christian thankfulness, right? This act of praise to God that he's given to us for all, you know, all things, at all times, that's in keeping with his will and character. Sometimes we can lack that. Sometimes we can even lack natural thankfulness, and we start grumbling and complaining. Have you ever stood before the refrigerator, and here is yet another Tupperware full of food, and you are upset because you can't get it into the fridge? Do you see how twisted that could be? I mean, you have all this food, right? And yet you're grumbling about, I guess, having too much food. That happens. Maybe that'll happen as you put the leftovers away here today or tomorrow. Hopefully not. And even lost rebels can see the conflict that's there. That doesn't make any sense, but that is how twisted our hearts can be. But that very thankfulness, that natural thankfulness, is not rising up during times of trial. Though they might be able to muster up, lost people can muster up some sort of, you know, maybe they're just going to list out all the things that they're thankful for and have that kind of mindset and try to conjure up some feelings. But to purposefully thank God, to praise God at all times for everything that is in keeping with his will and character, that act of thankfulness, that Christian thankfulness, is foreign to them. And this is a thankfulness that we're to have in our hearts that is to be part of our daily lives. And so it's difficult for those as well, or sorry, it's different for those who are truly born again. We're to thank God in the name of Jesus Christ because of what he has done, having Christian thankfulness. So if you're called of God and you're justified, declared righteous in his sight, you will also one day be glorified, and everything on this earth at this time God is using to make you to be more like Jesus Christ. So what trial could come into my life? What tribulation or distress or persecution, famine, nakedness, disaster, or sword? What could possibly separate me then from the love of Christ? Nothing at all. How then could I cease giving thanks to him? Nothing can separate me from the love of Christ, because in all these things I overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved me. As Paul writes, he says, "For I am convinced." Are you convinced? I am convinced, he says, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he says in 2 Corinthians 9, he says, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So I am not worthy of the least of all of his mercies and of the truth that God has shown to me." As David said it in 2 Samuel 7:18, he says, "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me to this point, receiving these great things?" I'm nobody. Why would you? He's done so much for us. And it seems our Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, he's risked it all. He's risked defiling, it seems, his own holiness in coming to rescue us, that he might look upon and concern himself with us, even us. I mean, he's humbled himself. Psalm 113:6 says he's humbled himself to behold the things that are in heaven and that are on the earth. He's humbled himself to do that. And to think then that he would give his precious son for sinners who have defiled him, who would defile him if they could. And he opens his fountain of love for us in his grace, forms a covenant with his people, and has his own son as the mediator of that covenant with great and precious promises that are so full of grace and future glory and peace and trial now and joy and service and encouragements from his Holy Spirit along the way and his word that sustains us. Friend, in your earthly pilgrimage, then make it a point to honor your heavenly Father by the universal authority of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and praise him for everything that he's done for you. It's awesome what he's done for us. And that's because, for example, his loving kindness is better than life. And count on it for all eternity. When this passing world is done, you will sing with those four living creatures in John's vision, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." There is a glorious day coming, and we can be ever thankful, even in times of the most difficult trials upon this earth, because of what he's done for us. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, you are so glorious and good. And humanity, we've rebelled against you, shaken our fist at you. But you have loved and loved and loved, have given and given yet again. Been patient, so very kind. Mercies have been everlasting. Your compassions never fail. Our Father, you have done well, as if you needed us to say that. But we recognize it. And so we give to you our thanks. And we praise you for the Lord Jesus Christ. how he has humbled himself to come, to die, and to be raised from the dead for us. And we, who are we? Who are we? And I mean, that you would bring us to this point to give us Jesus and this glorious salvation. We pray that we would express to you this Christian thankfulness, this thankfulness that is empowered by you in our hearts. So help us to truly praise you from the heart, even for difficult times, knowing that they bring us closer to you, and that you make us more like your Son, and that through those difficult times you bring us comfort, that we might comfort others. You give us your word that sustains us. You cause us to look up to you and to your promises to us for the future that become more real to us. Father, may you be honored in us in this. And we ask that you would forgive us for any grumbling and complaining that we've had. We have had that. We have. So we ask for your cleansing from that. And now we look forward, and we want to be filled with thanksgiving to you for what you've done for us in Christ, and even to have that thankfulness in difficult times. Please help us with this, we ask. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and our Lord, and we come to you in his name. Amen. All right. We'll take some prayer requests this morning.